Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Now, I am going to record the next poem of the poetry, John Milton. First of all, introduction about John Milton. John Milton, life and works. Milton is the highest among the mighty poets of Renaissance and Reformation. He presents the ways of God to man for sublimity to pour the lofty thought with new conception. John Milton was born in London on 9th December 1608. He owed his love of music to his father. John Milton, who was a man of culture, an accomplished musician and a composer of poetry from his early life. Milton was convinced that he was destined to be a great poet. For his purpose, after his MA degree in 1632 from Cambridge, he lived a life of seclusion in Herton, a small village. He subjected himself to a religious self-discipline and diligent study. He devoted himself to the classics, art, modern language, and literature. In 1641, he married Mary Powell, a hasty, ill-assorted union and the beginning of sorrows for him. In 1649, he became secretary to the newly established Council of State. He was also engaged in political and religious controversy and had hardly time for poetical composition. In the midst of it, he became blind and he had to face many difficulties. Lastly, he indulged himself fully in the service of music. He died in 1674. Milton's work reflects his love of beauty, music, Puritanism, and classicism. The contemporary political scene influenced his writing considerably. Milton's writings are generally autobiographical in character. Some of his famous works are Allegro, Penarosho, Lycidas, and Samson Agonized. The Paradise Lost and The Paradise Regained are his masterpieces. They are greatest epics in English literature. Milton as a poet. John Milton's literary life can be divided into three distinct periods, from 1625 to 1637. First, during this period, he wrote most of his shorter poems, including El Allegro, Penseroso, and Lycidas, etc. Second, from 1637 to 1659. During this period, Milton paid his more attention on the burning topic, the day, or for example, the struggle between the king and the parliament. His Areopagitica has been regarded as a very powerful work of this period. Third, from 1660 to 1674. During this period, he devoted his full mind and soul to his great works like Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonized, etc. There is no doubt that John Milton is the second greatest poet of England. He stands next only to Shakespeare. The supreme quality of Milton's poetry is its sublimity. His poetry elevates and afflicts us. He himself lived a life of purity and austerity, and his poetry bears the unmistakable stamp of the nobility of his character. The subject matter of his poetry, so far as the subject matters of Milton's poetry are concerned, they are really sublime and have lofty thoughts. He could never bow down to cheap love-pet poetry, which had been in vogue ever since the Renaissance. Not lovers and lasses, but God, Satan, Adam, Eve, and Christ are the characters that Milton introduces in his poetry. In all his poetic works, one can get something very extraordinary, even in his shorter poems like sonnets and odes. According to the greatest poet of Romantic Revival, William Wordsworth, the sublimity of Milton was something connected with his character, and in his famous sonnet, he invoked the sublime influence of Milton to wipe away the selfishness and materialism of his times. Wordsworth writes about Milton: "Thy soul was like a star, and dwelt apart, thou hadst a voice whose sound was like the sea, pure as the naked heavens, majestic free." The elements of love and beauty. It is true that Milton never describes low-class love or beauty only to arouse emotion and passion of the common folk, but love and beauty in his hand have some elevated ideas. He depicts the beauties of the countryside in El Allegro. The picture that has been presented in the poem is truly superb. In Paradise Lost, his sense of beauty is supreme. In Book 4th of Paradise Lost, he gives a glowing description not only of the beauty of nature, but also of the physical charms of Adam and Eve. 2. Milton makes no compromise with his loftiness of thought or a question of love or beauty. Milton is always majestic and grand. Common objects and low and pretty themes do not form the subject matter of his poetry. If there is the treatment of love, it is with God or of any high rank. The high seriousness. Milton is a scholar and has high thought about the world. He presents what he thinks right and good for the mankind. He never bothered about a large audience of admiring readers. That is why he does not care to the tastes of the common man. He desires is to have fit audience, though few, an audience that may be able to appreciate the high seriousness, the moral tone, and fervor of his poetic thought. He himself thinks that the subject matter of the poetry should be lofty and sublime, that can touch the soul of the reader. The lofty thought and great imagination. Milton is very serious to his subject matter. When he thinks that imagines about the subject matter of his Paradise Lost, no doubt it is great and grand. The theme of the epic is vast and of more universal human interest than those of any predecessors. Both ancient and modern, the imagination of the poet moves from heaven to hell, and in Paradise regained from hell to heaven. Autobiographical sense. Milton was a great thinker and had profound knowledge of the world. His heart was filled with philosophy. In his poetry, one can get the reflection of his militant. His early poems like El Allegro and El Allegro First and Penseroso reflect the mood of young Milton. Satan is Milton, the arch rebel and lover of liberty and the hero of Samson Agonocides. Is also a reflection of the blind poet fallen on evil days. In the sonnets, his emotions find a more direct expression. Religious effects. The religion for Milton is the keynote of his poetry. In Paradise Lost, his chief motive is to justify the ways of God to man. This religious tendency can be seen, more or less, in his every poem. Mostly Milton chooses the religious subject for his poetry. Secondly, morality is the important factor to him. Thirdly, he preaches as a clergyman. Fourthly, he pleads like a rebel against the follies of the world. Thus, the main features of his poetry are religious and classical, and there is a loftiness and serious thought. The style, diction, and versification. About Milton's style, it has been said, Milton's style and blank verse are grand and gifted, with full command over language and diction, as mighty mouth has been truly regarded, the best and the greatest for rhyming fiction. In Milton, blank verse is the overflow of the sense from line to line. This is a characteristic which Marlowe and already imported to be the blank verse. Milton carries it a step further. Milton is the master in choosing the language. He selects the words whose sound expresses their sense. William Hazlitt, a grand critic, admires the music and melody of Milton's blank verse in the language that deserves the name of verse. Tennyson, too, describes the greatness of Milton's blank verse and says, Milton is the mighty mouth, inventor of harmonies, God-gifted organ, voice of England. Milton's style has been called a grand style because it has always an unmistakable stamp of sublimity and majesty. Milton uses the language of common life. His diction is grand and majestic, and the language which he employs is the language of a special art and not the language which men normally use to express their feelings. Milton uses Latin words. He is highly figurative. Similes and metaphors are his favorable figures. Thus, his style, diction, and art of rhyming and blank verse are undoubtedly unique and superb. What is an elegy? An elegy is a special kind of lyric poetry, especially because it is invariably sad and melancholy. It is a song of lament and mourning on the death of someone dear to the poet. In ancient Greece, from where it originated, the term elegy covered the war songs, love poems, poetical verses, lamentation for the dead, in fact, a wide range of subjects, both grave and gay. The Greek judged this composition by its form, not by its subject matter. It was written in the elegiac measure, a couplet composed of a dactylic hexameter, followed by a dactylic pentameter. Any poem written in this manner ranked as an elegy, whatever its theme might be. But now there has come a great difference in LSE form. An LSE nowadays takes its name from its subject matter, not from its form. It is usually a lamentation for the dead, though it may be inspired by the sombre theme, such as unrequited love, the fall of famous city, and the like. So far as English elegy is concerned, no doubt it has various moods. Gray's elegy written in a country churchyard has a special example of English elegy. Dr. Johnson says about it and writes, where there is leisure for fiction, there is little grief. An elegy more or less around the subject matter of death. Shelley wrote an elegy, Adonais, on the death of Keats. Milton wrote Lycidas on the death of his friend Edward King. Thus, an elegy is a form of poetry which is mostly written on death of someone or which deals with the theme of death. The pastoral elegy. During the Renaissance, a new kind of elegy was introduced into English poetry. It followed a convention by which the poet represented himself as a shepherd bewailing the loss of companion. The manner of speech and the setting were borrowed from the rustic life, and whatever the poet had to say to describe was phrased accordingly. This convention lasted down to modern times. Milton's Lycidas and Matthew Arnold's Thyrsis in memory of his friend, the poet A.H. Clarke, are both pastoral elegies, employing pastoral images and sentiments. This is how it recalls the poet's association with Edward King in Lycidas. For we were nudged upon the self-same hill, fed the same flock by fountain, said and rill. This type of elegy has been mostly and fully influenced by Greek elegy.